Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is November 14, 2011. And for my first-time listeners, Victory Against All Odds is a radio talk show for the family where we talk about some of the struggles and obstacles that families face as it relates to issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. So let's talk. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Please email me and I'll respond. The chat room is open today. If you have a question, please type. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid to ask questions or voice your opinion. And as I always remember to say, I do not reveal names unless you offer it up. We also wanted to just get into, we talked about last month, we talked about domestic violence. Last month was Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We have several guests, and now it's November. Can you believe it? We're on our way out of 2011. I had an awesome opportunity on last month to attend the North Carolina Governors Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I was able to meet various women and other nonprofit organizations that were that are able to meet the needs of the people from across the state of North Carolina in particular. But nonetheless, these are the very resources that I have been speaking of, and we'll be having some of these resources join us on the air throughout the rest of this year and into 2012. So we have that to look forward to. So I was very excited. I learned a lot. I also met a lot of awesome people who could be very beneficial to the needs of women, needs of men as well. So I definitely want to be able to connect and get those resources to you throughout the future. So today, after prayerful consideration, I decided to go back to building more bricks on sexual abuse. I was out there looking at my statistics, and it just seems like it is such a needed discussion, and so much of a secret. There's just so many people out there that are hurting. Last month on the broadcast dated October the 3rd, we spoke about the blame and the shame factor. I just kind of wanted to just review that for just a minute before moving forward, because we did take that break and do domestic violence, and we're going to go back to that. So, but I just wanted to just go back and pick up where we left off and just give you a really quick refresher. As we talked about the fear of being looked down upon as a result of being raped or molested, we talked about being raped can be considered as a disgrace depending on your mindset and what part of the region you come from. Some cultures think of rape as a disgrace. We have got to change our mindset. We cannot keep rape and sexual assault a secret. Don't allow anyone to make you feel ashamed or blame you for something someone else did that was not your fault. Whether you were, doesn't matter what you were wearing or whatever the situation or the circumstance was at that time, don't allow anyone to make you feel ashamed or blame you. Don't continue to be locked up in your mind. Don't continue to be held a prisoner. You can go back and listen to that broadcast at your free will, but I just wanted to talk about and just kind of give you a recap of that episode so we can kind of talk about today as we continue talking about sexual abuse. I wanted to kind of begin to talk about how we overcome sexual abuse, and some of this is going to overlap. Sexual abuse and molestation, we talked about how do we overcome. Of course, before we can do anything, we first must admit that this has happened to you, this has happened to me. I know someone that's probably listening today, they have not made this step. So I definitely want to reiterate that the first step in this is to admit that this has happened to you. You have to say it. You have to own it. Then we can begin to deal with the emotions, the hurt, the pain, the madness, and definitely the tears and the fears of it all. And again, those the hurts, the pain, the madness, the tears, and the fears. We've got to discuss this. We discussed in some of the previous broadcasts, but just wanted to refresh some of the first-timers and introduce to you that first step, which is the hardest, and that is to admit that this has happened to me, this has happened to you. My goodness. I can say for myself, it took 2 years before I could open my mouth and admit that this thing happened to me. I spent 2 years trying to pretend that I was okay. I was locked up in my mind. I was locked up in my emotions. And I can say that I was literally a prisoner in my mind, in my emotions. And one of the things that survivors can do at times is they shut the emotions off so that you can function. Because remember, this is a secret, and you got to keep it together so you don't let the secret out. You don't want it to show in your face. You definitely ain't trying to tell it. And you don't want it to manifest itself in other areas of your life. But guess what? It just doesn't happen. For me, I did this for as long as I could. And as a result of trying to keep this secret and pretend like it didn't happen and pretend like it wasn't there, it took me into a terrible nervous breakdown. The nervous breakdown was basically a terrible tailspin of popping pills, trying to medicate myself, trying to keep it together. And then, of course, that led to just having a whole lot of mental turmoil, which eventually led to trying to commit suicide. And basically, wow, more than one time, and was successful. On that last trip, was very successful in getting the pills down, more than one, to the point that I wrote a note, and I'm just going to throw it out there for somebody that's listening today. My trigger was it was raining. I was leaving work, and I worked at one of the places here in North Carolina, Interac, and I had just gotten off the phone with several people I was just dealing with people who were experiencing some of the same things. And as a result, I got outside waiting on the bus because I wasn't driving yet, and there were some people, some guys who were just circling the block, and I don't know what, it was raining, it was cold, and it triggered something. And I just, by the time I got back to my room, I was no good. And it just brought up a flood of memories, a flood of thoughts. I did me a cocktail, and it was over. Fortunately, for me, that didn't work. Even though I had that experience where I saw the light, I did have a experience there where I knew that I was in a different place. I remember speaking to angels and remember pleading them to let me in. All that they told me to do was go back. And the realness of it was when I realized I was awake. The light that I saw was so bright. People, when they talk about that bright light, and you hear people and you hear stories and you see television, they talk about a bright light of having an experience of death. It is no made-up story. It is true. I thought it was 12 o'clock in the day. It was so bright. The realness of it, it was pitch black outside about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. My roommate was laid over there in her bed, sound asleep. She had no idea what I had done, so the only way she would have figured out anything was when I did not move the next morning and she would have found a note. But I was a sick dog, for I was just sick, and it took a while to recover. And I didn't really mean to say all that, but it's okay. My point is that I was locked up with a secret that needed to be freed. And I needed to come off of Stuck Street and Chain Boulevard before I could begin my walk in victory. So, moving on, it is time for us to start peeling the layers of the onion away, one layer at a time. Remember that we discussed that discussion is necessary for change. We've got to talk about this. If we don't, then that feeling of self-worth is hampered, which leads to self-degradation and difficulty in forming healthy relationships and accepting ourselves, who we are, what we are, and who we are to become. All that becomes hampered because you're trying your best and your mind is just so occupied and your time is occupied with keeping a secret. But with prayer and using strategic tools that we've talked about, you begin to be well on your way to from becoming a victim to a victor. We talked about self-care. We talked about eating the right types of food. We talked about exercise. We talked about having enough sleep. We talked about getting medical care if it's a situation where this has happened to you and at the moment you need to go get medical help. We talked about, you know, making sure you do a report or at least keep evidence. If you're not ready to report, keep evidence. If you need counseling, keep a journal. Remember we talked about all that anger and how to free yourself and how to take that anger, which is looked upon as being negative, and make it work for you in a positive way. So we're going to turn that anger around and make it work for you, journal it, meditation, relaxation exercises, and things of that nature. We talked about just making sure that you're emotionally healthy, keeping connecting with your inner resources, your environmental resources, talk to your friends, your family, get some good support network working for you. We also talked about just setting limits, knowing what your triggers are. We talked about anniversary dates. These are some of the tools that we talked about as we talk about, just moving on in life, not being stuck on Stuck Street and Chain Boulevard. Okay, I have some callers. I'm going to open up the line. Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, caller. This is Victor.
Hi, can you hear me? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. I'm loving your show. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your experience.
Say that one more time.
I said, thank you so much for sharing your personal experience. I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Now, in relation to this Penn State situation, I'm sure you're following that pretty closely.
Yes and no.
The sexual abuse scandal at Penn State University, apparently a longtime assistant coach there had started a nonprofit charity to take in abused and disadvantaged children and help them out. And the charity is still in existence, and it's been in the news all week. And apparently an undergraduate student saw him having sex in the shower with a child and didn't tell anyone. It went on for a while and went and finally told the head coach of the famous football team, who told one person above him, but nobody ever called the police. Now now it's this huge scandal, and they fired the head coach. And my question to you is this. we know that sometimes in society and in religion, a lot of times the victim will be made to feel like it's their fault or they somehow brought it on. So how do you go about, you know, healing, making these young people feel like they weren't the reason this happened?
Well, one of the ways is, first of all, you have to believe them, because in order for them to feel free in what they've experienced, one is accepting that this has happened to them and allowing them to be able to tell their story, express their feelings, express their anger, be able to allow them to talk about it and accept it for what it is. And interesting that you would ask, and I did hear that. I was listening to it on Friday, as a matter of fact. But it goes back to exactly what I said today in terms of that blame, shame factor. A lot of times victims don't tell and don't speak up because they don't want to have to go through the 50 questions. Well, why were you this and why were you that and how come this and how come that, instead of just accepting the fact that this has happened to them and not making them feel less than, not making them feel responsible, not making them feel worthless. And that helps with the healing process, but it also helps get that story out. Now, right now, all them young people need support. They need someone to just rally around them and love them, because now that they're telling it, they're going to relive all that emotional stuff that has been locked up for all that long time. The fact that it's out, that is a relief to some of them or to all of them. The fact that somebody else knows is part of that healing process, because they had to carry that burden on their back, in their mind. They were on Chain Boulevard for such a long time. And if you've ever been stuck in an elevator or locked in a box or chained or been behind prison bars, there is nothing worse than feeling bound and chained. And so there's a freedom that comes with that. And now they just have to work through all of the media hype, all the questions. But if they have a good support system in place, someone to hold their hand, someone to help them through the tears, someone to help them through the fear, someone to help them feel like, okay, this did happen to me, and it doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to stand by what I experienced. And the ultimate triumph is that the person who did this is reprimanded, whether that be prison time, whether that be financial compensation for that family for all the pain and anguish that family went through, that individual went through. Those are some of the things that help with the healing process.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm really enjoying your show. Again, thanks for sharing your experience. It's a very timely topic, and I'm going to keep on listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good afternoon. You're on the air. This is Victory Against All Odds. Hello, are you there?
Can you say the last four digits of the number so we know? Are you talking to me?
15, yes. 1559.
Yeah, you gotta say the number so we know who you're talking to.
I'm sorry.
Hey, sis, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
How you doing there? I'm enjoying this program and so glad that you are on. I've typed in the chat room, this is Dr. Du. So glad that you're sharing what you've been through. I got a comment, someone read my book, several people now have read the new book, and the comments have been, we appreciate you sharing such detail and knowing that you really went through that pain. And just Saturday, talked to someone that had even been on your program and was able to really encourage that person. So, sis, just keep doing what you're doing, It's excellent. You know, this whole thing with this thing in Penn State that people don't understand, or maybe they do understand, probably do, unfortunately, is that I don't know. I that same question I asked my wife when this first popped last week, I said, but what were the laws in Pennsylvania when this all happened and when it all was broken back in 1998? And from what I understand, they don't have laws on their books for this. So there was no calling the police wouldn't have been any value at that time. They apparently this weekend, Senate and congressmen from that state are putting together a bill to deal with this. Now that's the bad news, bad news or good news. But the other good news, though, and it's not good news, but the news is that when he crossed state lines and had sex with the young boys in Texas or one of those states, because he crossed state lines, the federal law is in effect for at least those incidences of what was done. And if anybody wants, I'll post, let's see if I can do it, post it in the chat room, if you don't mind, sis.
Uh-huh.
The article, I'll post it in your chat room for people to go to it and look at the article, because
okay.
A lot of people don't know that his, I can't post the article, but the link to the article, article that these were all black fellows, black boys. And I didn't know that either until I started, I got some more information. I thought it was just having sex with college kids. And again, I know that some people don't care about my logic, but when there's consenting adults, that's one thing. I did not know that it was children. See, I thought it was consenting young people because when they said, so I'm in the college, you're doing it. Well, I thought that's what he was with college. But now to find out these were 8, 9, 10-year-old boys, and they were black boys, and he took advantage of them in their by using that foundation. This is going to be really something. So I'll post the article that I received. So you can, people want to go to it, they can go to the actual article. Let's see if we can do that. We'll try to do that for you.
Okay. Yeah, but that's what the other caller was saying, that this was a nonprofit organization that he had set up. So that it sounded to me, that's what he was talking about, is that because it was like a nonprofit organization, that it wasn't necessarily college students, that these were younger kids.
Well, see, and when it first came out, we didn't know that. See, when it
right,
first came out
exactly.
last week, it just sounded like, oh, this is just somebody, you know, some man having sex with some kids. Well,
wow.
I mean, some college guys. But no, this is a real, real devastating thing.
It is devastating.
Yeah.
It's a very sad story. I've been listening to it. I've been busy, but I have been listening to it on the radio. And it just grieves my spirit that, you know, people would take somebody that, you know, such an innocent child who has so much for life and just destroy, you know, their innocence, the purity of them, and put them in a different place that they're not ready for, you know, because of what? Your greed, your selfishness, you know, your authority. You know, if you pick on somebody your own size, you know what I'm saying? Why?
Amen. Amen.
Somebody that can defend themselves. Pick on, you know what I'm saying? Like that. It makes me so angry. It really
well,
does.
See, what should also make us, it'll make us angry from this, also the fact that these were, that the black woman, mother of the child, of the kids, told about it, and they didn't do anything. And this is where I'm really, I mean, I'm furious already because of what happened to me as a child. And so, but then for him to be a white man and to systematically abuse black boys, and then when it comes out to the people all around him, well, these are black folks, no big deal. That is another atrocity that needs to be addressed, I believe. That's just, it's just unconscionable.
Yes, it is. Very much so. Very much so. That's why we have got to get the word out. that we are just not going to tolerate this kind of behavior. And for those who have experienced, they need to start talking and expose, you know, this secret, you know, and that's what the perpetrator is depending on, that you're not going to tell, you're not going to open your mouth.
Exactly.
And we need to put a stop to that. We need to cry loud and spare nobody.
That's what the word says, and that's what we're doing, and that's what you're doing. So, yeah,
yes.
Keep it up. Keep it up. Do not stop. do not stop. Do not cease.
Amen.
I just wanted to share that. I just wanted to give you a word of encouragement, as always, and any listeners out there, understand that we're here to help. We're here to just to be a help, and to help break these chains of bondage, as you were talking about earlier. Because until you release it, till you let it go, till you face it, you're in that bondage. And shame is not of God. It started in the Garden of Eden, because when God asked Adam and Eve, well, why did you clothe yourself? Why are you hiding? Well, we're naked. Well, the spirit of shame was released then, and it's been on the earth ever since. It's another perversion, another spirit that follows in all the spirits of perversion, and there's a number of them. That's just one of them.
Exactly. I thank you for calling as well. I had another caller, but I think they hung up. But I thank you for calling. That was great. And yes, we do. God bless you. Okay. Yes, the Penn State tragedy is truly heartbreaking. You know, when you take small children and you change the very course, you know, of their life because of your selfishness, it grieves me that someone would do such a thing to children. You know, not to say that, you know, adults are it makes it legal or acceptable for you to do it to another adult, but especially children who have no defenses, who are taught to obey their parents, who were taught to take reverence to those who have rule over them, and then you take advantage of the authority that was given unto you as an adult, as a parent, as a, you know, as a teacher, as a person of influence, and you took it and you perverted it for your own selfish gain, for your own selfish lust, if you will. Just grieves me. But nonetheless, you know, we pray that those children will heal. I thank my first caller who called in. That was such a timely question for such a timely broadcast. And that to have this now come out in the open, to be out in the open and to be able to talk about it and begin to heal. Now, those children are going to definitely need a very good support system. They're going to need counseling. They're going to need a whole lot of resources that I hope that people are able to give them and allow them to heal, protect them from the shame and the blame, especially boys, and that they are able to make a healthy recovery, and that in this hurt and in this tragedy that their life doesn't become hard and traumatic, that they're able to take what was meant for their bad and turn it into something good. And so that is my prayer for them. I don't have any more callers. I was checking to see if I had any questions. I also wanted to make mention of Dr. Dew, who just got off the line. He also has a book for those of you that may be
interested, he has a book, Don't Say a Word About This, Exposing and Confronting Sexual Perversion. And you can find his book on www.drdue, that's drdue.com. Teddy Bear, Stolen Innocence is another book. It is www.incestinblackamerica.com. Again, it's www.incestinblackamerica.com, which is one word, .com. Also, wanted to just thank him as well as my first caller for calling in on today. And just kind of in my closing, as we talk about sexual abuse and recovery, that we continue to, as support people, continue to be good listeners, continue to be a support, a friend to those who may condone or expose their experience to you. And if you don't know what to do or what to say, go to someone that can help you, assist you, be a friend to that person. I'm available if you need me. My email address again is odds, that's O, D as in dog, S in Sam, underscore against, AGAINST, underscore, the letter U, at yahoo.com, or you may Facebook me at Victory, capital A, capital A, capital O, or you may look me up on Donise, D-O-N-I-S-E, Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N. We all have some heart challenges in our lives, but we want everyone to know who is listening under the sound of my voice that you do not have to hide your pain, that it is possible to walk in freedom and deliverance of sexual abuse. Against all odds, you can walk in victory on today. All it takes is a phone call, and all it takes is for you to admit that you have been abused, you have been violated. All it takes is that first step of you admitting to yourself that you are a victim. You too can overcome all the odds against you. Every obstacle that comes to try to block you and keep you bound, you do no longer have to be bound. I am here to help you walk in total victory. All you have to do is email me. I will hook you up with the resources that you need, no matter where you're calling from, whether it's North Carolina, South Carolina, up the Eastern Seaboard, in the middle, or out west. So stay tuned next week as we begin again to continue to gain understanding of the physical and the emotional challenges that you are facing for yourself, your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, your classmates, your coworkers. We will continue to build brick upon brick upon brick. Together we can learn powerful strategic weapons to combat the seemingly insurmountable obstacles that life can bring and begin the process of healing and forgiving. You don't remember anything else? Forgive, forgive, forgive. Forgiveness keeps you free. Remember we talked about taking the power and keeping the power. Forgiveness allows you to have power. Exposing allows you to have power. So please email me. My address again is us_against_U@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. Join me next time, which will be November the 21st at 12:30, right here on blogtalkradio.com. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds. I will have the mics open. I will have the chat room going. Until next time, be blessed. Have a blessed day. And to remember to walk in victory.
Your daytime has turned to night. You may be unaware, but there's someone who cares, and he's leading you. Times when you feel that you're all by yourself, like an island out on the sea. But that's the enemy's way of making you doubt, 'cause God promised he never. Jesus Christ.